I have to tell you, I woke up this morning and John Williams was in my head because I'd been listening to your album, and I was like,
"Oh, very nice."
Yeah, what a great and I'm just tickled that this isn't just an all John Williams sort of album that you've really.
It's definitely not.
You know, but it's one of those brilliant. You know, that's such a striking, powerful piece. How did you choose these different selections, like from Schindler's List?
Well, the entire disc originated from the wish to record Korngold's Violin Concerto, and Korngold being the composer he was, and having led the varied life that he did, lent itself to. A lot of different options in terms of the makeup of the rest of the repertoire, and you know, could we come up with some sort of a concept rather than just sticking with another violin concerto or something that's a little bit more traditional in the format of the disc. So it started from Korngold, and eventually the requirement for the rest of the disc, after a lot of thought and a lot of back and forth, and a lot of you know, listening and matching with all sorts of composers, became that the rest of the piece would be, the rest of the CD would include music written for film or used in film and originally written for the violin. Now, if you have that criteria, Schindler's List is probably the first piece of music that comes into everybody's mind, being one that is so memorable and I think moved so many people and created. Created a really big following, I think, for the film and for that theme and you know, with such a notable premiere performance and recording from Perlman. So I think you know, that was probably one of the easiest, most obvious choices. The rest we had to work a little bit harder in putting together.
I think it's lovely that there's some chamber music on here, that it's not just violin and big orchestra. And I think I was going to ask about if you had seen the movie with the Shutter Island, and if or if someone said, oh, you know, they actually put in some of this oddly rare Mahler chamber music.
No, I'd seen the movie, and I saw the film in the cinema, which was very rare because I hardly ever get to go to the cinema, and was absolutely drawn in and bombarded with the intensity of both the Mahler, and I think he might use Goretzky as well within the film, but the music is so cleverly chosen and a very strong. Strong part of what you leave with that film. So that was the minute we began coming up with this concept. That was one of the first suggestions that I made.
I was curious, the idea that there is quite a bit of Korngold, which there are those beautiful arrangements other than the concerto, movements of the Gadfly, which are, of course, you know, again, gorgeous, but they're not all together. It's not like there's Korngold set and a Shostakovich set, and then, you know, it's all put together. Is the idea that this is something laid out that you can listen for an evening or an afternoon, or, you know, that's something that flows the way it's here on the disc?
Yeah, there was a lot of back and forth about, you know, between my record company, my fellow musicians, producer, everyone had different feelings on what the list should be and the order of the pieces of music. I think that was possibly something that created the most tension between all of us, because people just had such very different views, and I wasn't entirely sure myself either. I mean, the style of music, the variety in style of music, in emotion, in the keys, in the instrumentation, in the textures. I mean, it is so unbelievably varied. It's such a mix. Although each and every track, I feel, has very distinct, other than all being, you know, fitting the general criteria for the concept of the CD, they all have a distinct link musically or historically or sort of thematically to at least one or two other pieces on the disc. So it was just a case of, you know, me really listening from beginning to end many times, trying to feel a sense of a journey and trying to make, you know, trying to be artistic with the sequence. But like I said, there were many different opinions and who knows, you know, there was no right or wrong. It was just a case of in the end, we had to stop debating it and just go with something.
Sure. Are the stories and the pictures themselves sort of an inspiration as you're putting these things together? And I know in the concerto, the Korngold concerto, that there are obviously quotes from Anthony Edwards and different film scores of his. But yeah. With things like, I haven't seen Eastern Promises, but listening to your interpretation here, I'm like, oh, I got to go see that. I got to check that out.
Oh, absolutely. I think with that and with Shutter Island and I think those pretty painful films that actually have such a complex web of identities and characters and a backdrop of such complicated communities. I think in order to be able to capture that, as a film composer, to be able to capture that in such a simple, repetitive motive as Howard Shore does with Eastern Promises, or on the flip side, for Scorsese to hear the Mahler and be able to identify that with such a web of complications as in Shutter Island, it's just an incredible skill. I would love to further experience watching that process and seeing how those decisions are made and how they come about. I actually recorded the actual soundtrack for Eastern Promises with Howard Shore. So I was able through that experience to see a little bit of the behind the scenes working. But even so, I find it fascinating to see how that works.
Well, there are such great moods in between these sort of things, whether it's that big finale and when you hear the horns at the end of the Korngold, or, you know, that sort of plaintive sounds from Eastern Promises. It comes out beautifully in your playing. And I wanted to ask, I was curious because you are one of these violinists of a great generation, but are so incredibly productive. You are someone that has a new release every year, which is not the case. And I think that's a blessing for the audience, but I think that's probably something for you to be able to say, oh yeah, this is what I did last year. This was a great project, Italia. And this was a great project before this. I remember being in Las Vegas and hearing your Chmielewski, you know, just winning the competition. And ever since then, it's been really neat to have this sort of thing. Is this something that is a goal for you to be like, you know, this year, this is going to be it. And let's, you know, let's record it. Let's do it.
I think it's something that has become a pattern. You know, once one disc is out, I'm already on to the next and on to the next or the next two. There's no question it's been a very fast turnaround. That's Silver Violin was the seventh CD that I've released. And I think that seems like quite a lot considering the first one I was, you know, 16 or 17. It does put a large amount of pressure on each year. Obviously the classical performances are booked years in advance, and the recording projects, my pattern has been that they tend to come together or be finalized and the, you know, the last finishing touches put together relatively late in comparison to the concert diary. And I think the privilege of having a contract with a company like Decca and the privilege of having the opportunity to record, having a company that will tell people about the recording, that will release it, that will put support behind it. I mean, there isn't a day that goes past that I don't fully understand and appreciate what a great position that is to be in. And I think that appreciation is you know, spurs me on to want to release more discs and be as creative and thorough as I can with the ones that I record. And so that's how I see it.
Like I said, this is a really nice mix. There's some chamber music. There's these gorgeous lines. And there's some fun, I think, in some of the promotions here that you're a blonde. It looks like sort of you're in the movie poster, perhaps. So yeah. Maybe this is a movie.
Yeah, we had some
movie.
Fun with that.
So is it
that day was fun, yeah.
Can you see yourself doing more? I know you tweet and whatnot. Can you see yourself doing some film at all?
Oh, I doubt I'd be any good at acting. I might be. I've never tried. Do you know, there is enough for three lifetimes, never mind one, just within the realms of classical music, music education, and music, basically. I mean, the whole world of music. I doubt I'll ever have. I know for sure I will never tire of learning and discovering more within that world. So I think it'd be quite unlikely I would necessarily go into anything else. I don't feel a need for it at all. But we'll see. I'll never, you know, never say never. Maybe in 10 years from now, I'll decide that that's my new wish. But I doubt it.
Oh, sure. Well, it makes me think because there were some great old Heifetz where he was put into movies. And I know from Zimbalist, you know, you see these sort of things. So you never know. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know. No, he did. You know, they're funny to watch those.
Oh, I know. Oh, man. Well, congratulations on the Silver Violin. I guess I'd end and ask, what is next? What are some of the dreams projects that you're thinking about?
Well, I mean, I probably wouldn't say any specifics now, but I'm quite sure that a chamber music disc, an all chamber music disc, is on the cards, because that is something I've wanted to do for a good while. And further to that, you know, just documenting repertoire that I've been performing quite extensively over the last couple of years, and probably attempting again to come up with a strong concept surrounding a concerto. That's something that I did in the very first recording, and it's been sort of a pattern. I mean, not completely exclusively throughout the seven discs, but I've done it a few times, and I think it's quite likely that the next disc will be, you know, something similar to that. So it's very exciting.
It's great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Thanks.